We're very pleased to have former Maple Leafs captain Rick Vive on the show, one of our favorites. How are you doing? It's great to have you on. What are you, golfing this morning? Thanks for getting up for us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm not golfing till about 8:30, but I'm usually up around this time pretty much every day anyway. So
where are you hitting them today, Rick? Give a little plug for the course.
Rockaway Vineyards, which is in Lincoln, I believe it is, or St. Catharines. It's kind of right on the border, so I'm not sure where to call it.
That sounds like a place that Greg and I would never be invited to.
Oh, my heavens. Are you kidding? Yeah, you take an eight on that first hole on that par four, a quadruple bogey,
they politely ask you to
escort
leave.
You off the course. Yeah, that's what happens.
It's actually a par five that started out.
I'm glad you know it. You're all set to play it. You know, I've always wanted to ask you, I've always made the case that had NHL players been going to the Olympics a lot sooner, there were a couple of years that Doug Gilmour would have gone, a couple of years Wendell Clark would have gone. You were a cut from the 1984 Canada Cup team. And I want to tell people before I ask you about that experience, listen to who they cut. Dennis Savard, Scott Stevens, Sylvain Turgeon, who was great then, Rick Vive, and James Patrick and Mario Marois. Marois later made in 87. What was that? Like, when you get to that camp, you've come off a 50-goal season with the Leafs. You're the best Leaf by a mile at that point in time. You go to that camp, are you looking around going, I got a shot at this? Was it disappointing? A lot of great. Steve Yzerman, Joe Sakic have been cut from these kind of teams, right?
Yeah, you know what? You get there and you think, okay, I mean, this is something I'd love to do. I'd love to make this team. And then at the end of it, you get let go and you're one of 32 players that are there and you look around and go, well, I don't mind being cut by this team. Now, I've been cut by other teams and I've been really pissed off, but I'm okay with this.
I was going to say, yeah, like it's at that point, you got wingers like Glenn Anderson, Brian Bellows was in his prime, Mike Gardner, Michel Goulet. But again, your numbers were quite, these guys also, like no unfairness to your Leaf teammates in the early 80s. Look at the and Glenn Sather's going to try and keep sick. You could put the Oilers and the Islanders together in 1984 and you'd win that tournament probably.
Well, and that was part of the thing was, you know, that I think when they put these teams together, a lot of times they like to put groups of guys that are from the same teams and play together. And I think it gives them a little edge going into tournaments because they're short tournaments. You don't have that much time to prepare. And if you can put groups of guys from same teams together, it makes it a little bit easier to gel.
Rick Vive, our guest. So it's really fascinating how the reaction has been to John Tavares. You came here and trade for very popular player in Tiger Williams and Jerry Butler, and you and Bill Dorlego come here, and you became an instantaneous crowd favorite. Bill did also with your productivity. It's another thing, isn't it, in unrestricted free agency for the Leafs to have a guy come back at age 27, peak of his career, and ink such a large deal. I mean, Cujo did it also 20 years ago, Rick, but this was really, really significant for John to put pen to paper with the Leafs and leave the island, wasn't it?
Oh, man, this is big. I mean, this is as big as you can possibly get. Johnny coming back here, having to make that decision amongst, well, I don't even think the other teams were really in the mix. I think it came down to the Islanders and the Leafs. And at the end of the day, he had to make a tough decision. I know it wasn't easy for him. And I've known Johnny for a long time. He played with my son with the Marlies for 3 years way back in whatever it was, minor Bantam and minor midget. And so it must have been an agonizing decision for him to make. But I think family and playing for the Leafs, which he grew up as a big Leaf fan, at the end of the day, I think that was the deciding factor. And if you look at the contract, it obviously wasn't all about money because Johnny probably could have got about $13 million on the open market or maybe more.
Rick, there's lots of speculation out there right now that Tavares will wear the C as captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not like being a captain in a lot of other markets. It's different being the captain of the Maple Leafs than it would be being the captain of the Arizona Coyotes or the Dallas Stars. What does it mean to wear the C for the Toronto Maple Leafs? And what kinds of things will Tavares have to deal with if and when he does get the captaincy?
You know what? I mean, yes, it's different. I mean, it's every day you have to answer questions, or pretty much every day you have to talk. You have to be available for the press for the most part every single day. But I you know, for Johnny and as a player, I don't think, and myself, I don't think it's that big of a deal, because you lead by example. That's one of the biggest things you do as a captain. And I didn't have a problem doing that. I don't think Johnny's going to have any problem doing that whatsoever. I don't think anybody, and I would dare to say there's probably no one in the NHL that works as hard as Johnny on his game and to be the best in the game. So that part comes easy. It's just whether or not, you know, and I don't think Johnny would have a problem with it either, with talking to the press every day. So I don't see it as an issue if one day he does get that, because he's an elite player. He makes himself available. He's not shy. He doesn't run away and hide and not talk to the press when he has a bad game. So, he's learned from the best, too. You look at his uncle, John, who has all the records in the National Lacrosse League. No one works harder than this. And I call him a kid. I'm sorry, but I mean, he's a year younger than my son, and I just love watching him, because he works extremely hard. He never gives up on a puck. He just tries to be the best in the league every single day.
Rick Five, our guest on Brady and Price, Greg Brady, Hugh Burrell, talking to the Leaf 50-goal scorer. Do you, and your scenario, it's a tough scenario for you, because my recollection is you became captain after Daryl Sittler was traded, and it's a tough era. The team wasn't doing great then. You're having great individual seasons. A few other guys are, but people are looking around, and you're probably like, hey, I didn't trade Daryl Sittler. I'm not blowing this. The guy in the bunker is, but don't look at me, right? Like, that's tough to ascend to the captaincy when Daryl Sittler was so popular and they kind of pushed him out of town.
Yeah, it was a little bit difficult. And probably the most difficult part was I was young. I was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. And, it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was forced on me. It was a great honor to have it, don't get me wrong. But Harold Ballard basically said, you're our captain. And I was really terrified at the time that I knew I wasn't quite ready. I was a little young. I was probably a year or two away from it. But I was worried that if I said no, he was going to trade me, which he probably would have. And so at that point in time, I certainly had no desire to be traded out of Toronto. So therefore I said, yes, okay, perfect. Let's go. But once you get going, it takes you a little bit of time, but you get used to it. The one thing I always, had in my mind was, there's only two people I need to, or there's two groups that I need to make happy: my coaching staff and my teammates. So as long as they were happy with how I was playing, I didn't care what anybody else said. I didn't care what they said in the press. And you know what? All the guys say, I don't read the paper. I don't listen to the radio. I don't. You know what? They all do. They're all lying. I did, but it didn't bother me what people said. I took it with a grain of salt. As long as my teammates and my coaching staff were happy, that's all that really mattered.
I think two of the public narratives I've thought have been a bit silly is there's this problem between Mike Babcock and Auston Matthews, and also somehow Auston Matthews won't be happy by either A, them acquiring Tavares, or B, if Tavares is named captain. Man, you go to that Canada Cup camp, you look at the Oilers and Islanders infrastructure, and you're probably a little jealous. Everybody wants to play with great players and go deep and be surrounded by talent. We all want to work with really good, bright, like-minded people. This should be this is going to work for, I feel like this is just going to work for everybody. And these are just made up stories to me.
Yeah, I believe they are too. And I think it's just a situation where, first of all, let's remember he's 20 years old. I mean, he's got a long time in this league to play. He's a great player himself. I will say one thing. And I mean, this is just my personal, thing. And that is that I would make John Tavares a captain, like ASAP, if he wanted it in Toronto. Now I think you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he'd have a problem with it, because I think that him as a captain, he's going to make these these young guys work that much harder to be the best they can possibly be. Not that they don't work hard already, but nobody does it like Johnny. And I can tell you that for a fact, that this guy is meticulous about his game day ritual, the way he works on everything, his skills and everything else. And he never quits on a puck when he's on the ice. I don't know if you saw the replay of that goal this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from the corner. Well, it gets it to Josh Bailey in front. Yeah.
Like that's just the sheer determination on his part. And that's what you get every single day with John Tavares. So if he's wearing a C, he's going to push all those young guys to be that much better. And I think that does nothing but elevate the Leafs to another level, I think.
Rick Vibe, Leaf great, 3 straight 50-goal seasons, still untouched almost 40 years later, and maybe it always will be. We thank you very much for your time, and have a great day on the golf course today.
Well, I always have a great day on the golf course. It's always nice to be out there. So thanks a lot, gentlemen, and I'm really looking forward to September when it rolls around, because I think it's going to be an outstanding year here in Toronto.